Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
The Baranda Splits presents the Baranda Splits. La la la, la 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 la. La 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 la, I told you so. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the ace in the Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the teenage Danarchist. Is that right? You know what? I looked at it for a second. I saw the word Christ. Because it's Danielle Radford.
Hi, I'm eating a Cadbury egg because it's the only form of energy I will have for the show. I would try to eat it off mic.
We also have, no, ASMR.
Oh, yeah, mukbang.
Oh, it's disgusting. I like it, but I know no one else does.
It's the problem with the cream egg. It's the most delicious thing on earth, but it's the most repulsive to eat.
Yeah. Don't you hate when you put out an ASMR video and you expect whispering and they're doing this? Sometimes my voice will get loud and I can't. Yeah. Modular.
Today we're going to do soft speaking. Bitch, that's not what I paid
for.
That's
not what I want. I want whispering.
Yeah, today
whisper.
I couldn't be bothered to put the effort in to whisper.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be speaking like this. And occasionally I'll just accidentally forget that I'm supposed to
be
doing
it. Exactly.
Bitch. Sorry.
Learn your craft. That voice you just heard was the I Heart Core champion,
Woo!
Lindsay Kelk.
Good work. Excellent work, Julian. Appreciated.
Let's jump right in to wrestling news from the week. On Raw, we learned that WWE has brand new rules regarding the brand split. Here is a clip.
What if I allowed three members of SmackDown to come to Raw on a given occasion? What if I invited three members of Raw to come to SmackDown? We would have ourselves a wild card rule. There's no telling what the hell would happen. I'm a genius.
Even this motherfucker doesn't even know what he's talking about anymore. Just admit you failed.
What if it's your fucking company and you can do whatever you want whenever you like and we don't need to play these ridiculous games to try and make it feel like a structure?
Yeah, we don't have to actually have like these, you don't have to do these rules where it's like it's a wild card, it's a this, it's a that.
It's not the Constitution. You can make things up and they still do that with that. So you can make it wherever you like.
Yeah, they really freshened things up with the Superstar Shake-Up so that we could get Roman versus Drew McIntyre, part 583. And I am a fan of both of them, and I enjoy watching them work, and I enjoyed watching them work together. That time is over. They can both move on to other things now. So, and then everybody shows up everywhere else. I said at the beginning, I said when they did this brand split, it was a bad idea. And I was right.
It was fine for what, like 8 years? I don't know. How long has it been now?
It happened for 17 years, and then they changed it for 4 weeks, and then it happened again for another 14 years, and now who fucking knows? Like, I really don't know what's happening anymore.
Yeah, you know, I think it worked. I think what we're seeing now is their eventual slide into being like, well, we'll keep the brand split, but when we have hot talent that we want on Fox... When they start doing the Fox show.
Yeah, we need to start pulling people across.
Yeah.
Also, we're in that post-Mania story slump where they're like, I don't know, we were up for a really long time, and now we let a bunch of people take time off, and we just let Dana Warrior write this episode. I don't know.
Yeah, just put Zayn in a trash can. I don't know. Yeah.
You know what the kids love? Putting people in trash cans. Yeah. And by the kids, I mean Vince.
And then the trash can gets picked up and dumped into a truck.
Because that's how trash collection works.
Yeah.
It just comes by.
You know, maybe the show should just shift into what happens at the civic level to keep your city clean and safe.
Mm-hmm. I would like to hear from a city comptroller.
It's a good chance to bring back Duke the Dumpster Drozzi. He's there.
And also Kane, you know, they have those, or Kane, it might as well be, Braun Strowman, they do have those boxes where you can leave a baby at the at the fire station if you don't think you can take care of him. Mm-hmm. Don't toss your Sami Zayn's into...
Take him to the fire station.
Take him to the fire station and drop him off. They won't even get mad.
Yeah, take him to a no-kill shelter.
Yeah, like, I have a Canadian. Can anyone take this?
He's feisty. He is feisty.
Love the hat.
He deserves love. Is known to skank.
Head gets real cold. Just a real cold head.
Yeah, it's so disappointing. Well, all right, let's just play this other clip too,
because
there are brand new rules around this
we got new
brand
rules,
split.
We got
Here it is.
No.
Alliance doesn't count, okay? Even with Shane, so.
Well, that's what we all say.
Alliance doesn't count.
Absolutely it does. Wild card. Isn't that tremendous? You got three individuals. Only three. Otherwise, I'll suspend somebody. Yeah. Well, I suppose I really am. I don't know. You know what? I think we're going to make that four. Four individuals from...
Maybe he should stop taking his calls in the only men's bathroom in the stadium.
Also, maybe he should stop talking to himself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. By the way, it sounds like he's on the phone. He was just talking to a mirror.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's on the phone to the voice in his head. That's who he's on the phone to.
Hello, me?
Also, just fire Lars.
I also think it's the only number in his phone is himself. Like, the only person he can call is his inner monologue.
I can't wait until next time. Hey, remember when I said four? What if it was five? Wait, six? Seven? What if all the rosters crossed over to the other rosters? Just whatever they wanted, freely between shows. They're still split.
Is anyone else going to talk about this? Do I have 2 minutes to talk about Lars?
Please.
Go ahead.
Please.
Okay, so I'm going to make this real quick. I don't know if anyone else was going to mention it. But so someone on Squared Circle put together a very comprehensive list of all of the terribly racist, homophobic, awful things that he used to say on two accounts on the bodybuilding forums.
I can't imagine that.
Oh, no, it's painless.
Wasteland.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it is.
It makes Lacey Evans look like a fucking suffragette.
I'm saying I imagine those bulletin boards can get really... This is not to bodybuilders in a box. When you get a lot of testosterone together, sometimes bad things happen.
Especially when it's been imbibed.
I don't even want to... Like, some of them are just... Like, his signature for a while was something like white bitches don't fuck black dudes or something. Yeah. Like, just like weird, that I'm paraphrasing, just like weird, weird stuff like that. And so someone put, it's Chains for Alice on Twitter, tagged Big E and was like, are you aware of this racist asshole you're going to have to work with? And then put the Squared Circle link. Big E put, many are aware. If true, he has to bear the albatross of being a bigot and working in a company that is now filled with minorities.
Wowzers.
So for everybody who was wondering if the boys in the back know.
They know.
They know. Which means that management knows.
Mm-hmm. Not only do they not care, he got a fucking segment with Vince.
Yeah. Where he got to make Vince look like a bitch.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, I feel like just the rape apologist, homophobic, racist, it just seeps out the pores.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even have to oil him with baby oil. That's just all hate.
I'd rather they didn't, anyway.
Isn't he one of a group of wrestlers that all look like a 2K create a wrestler before you've done anything with it?
Yep.
I feel like there are a lot of guys right now who look like that, who could fit in that slot. Yep. And maybe not
have the locker room hate him.
Yeah.
Hate them. And that
is a bold move for them to acknowledge that and say, if it's true.
You know, it shows that he's in like a really strong place with New Day and
one, it shows that they acknowledge there's probably credence to it, because I don't think they acknowledge rumor and speculation because it doesn't bode well for anyone involved. But the fact that he acknowledged it.
The evidence laid out is pretty.
I've seen it. It's unpleasant.
Compelling.
Yeah.
It's him, dudes. Like, it's both accounts have pictures of a younger version of him being like, "Oh, this is what you know. This is my. These are my progress pics because it's a bodybuilding photo for him and all that stuff. Like, it's him.
People were fired.
Ain't nobody else got that face.
And those people were women. So I'm like, I'm not saying they should have been employed either. I'm saying none of these people should have jobs. Mm-hmm. So yes.
There we go. There's my 2-3 minute rant on.
Historically, and in the present, and possibly now, then, now, forever, WWE has never been a company that appears to be one that positions themselves as a company that hires good people. Yeah. Like, they're not like, it has to be the right human being. They are so much more concerned with whatever the mass of people feel. I'm grateful to be in a time where people who like us don't tolerate that shit are making up a larger and larger percentage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of wrestling fandom.
And I think we've always been here. It's just always been like, it's really hard when it feels like the garbage is. But that's just, that's that thing of, you know, a lot of times that it's a vocal audience, but it's a small portion of the audience. Mm-hmm. But because they're so vocal, it makes everyone else think like, oh, that's everyone. And
yeah.
fine, I just won't. And also, there just weren't avenues to do so before we had social media, really.
That's why I love The Nation, because now we know where we all are.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like, it's not just us.
We're here. We're here for you. We'll be your candle on the water. I want to get back to this brand split.
Oh.
Oh. That I was looking more forward to talking about racism. Like a,
I was up for a peppy chat about racism today.
You had to make me talk about the brand split.
Well, I just got the new Southern Poverty Law Center newsletter. I'm happy to just read that out if you want.
Jesus.
The benefit of a brand split, right, is supposed to be we have so much talent right now that finally, because of these two shows, more people will get more airtime.
Yes.
That hasn't happened.
No.
We're sitting here talking about how terrible the tag divisions are on both shows because they continually break up tag teams or they're not featuring tag teams. It feels like the same 8 to 10 people are featured on each show.
Yeah.
So that is a lie that has been perpetrated to us by the people who think brand split is a good idea. Brand split is a bad idea.
They're just hoarding is the thing. They're hoarding and then they use, because the brand split is a great idea if it was used properly.
Yeah.
But what it winds up being is a way to be like, oh, well, we're not hoarding talent so that other people can't get them. We're putting them, you know, everyone will get an opportunity with the brand split, but that doesn't happen.
No, when they were doing these separately branded pay-per-views, you were seeing more people because they had to fill a full 3-hour pay-per-view with SmackDown people and then alternately Raw people. So you saw more of them, but then they just decided they didn't like that because people stopped watching the pay-per-views. And now because it's co-branded at the pay-per-views again, it really doesn't matter whether the shows are branded or not because the pay-per-view is what everything is leading to.
Right.
And it's always going to be the same people
and that's
in the pay-per-view.
So, it's so frustrating because those pay-per-views, the reason we stopped watching them is because sometimes they would be 2 to 3 weeks apart.
Yeah, there were just too many. It wasn't that they were Raw and or SmackDown. They were just too many.
Yeah, if you would have kept the same regular schedule of pay-per-views and just had them alternate, that would have been fine.
This is why it's stupid that it's rules. Why did it have to be like, here I am talking for 45 minutes about rules? It could have just been like, guess what, motherfuckers? I'm bringing a bunch of SmackDown people today. Ta-da!
Because I own you.
I own all of you.
You're all my toys.
You are my dollies.
I've decided to put you all in the ring together, and you can suck my gray balls.
I'm bringing some of my SmackDown dollies today to play with my Raw dollies. Everyone get in the ring. Fight for my love. Fight for daddy's love.
Yeah, how are you going to talk about rules for 45 minutes, and then 10 minutes later you're like, okay, but...
And also with zero authority, like his delivery was like, wildcard rule. It's wildcard. That's what we're calling it. Wildcard rules. And I'm just like, oh, sweet Jesus. Someone put this man down.
Did someone, we always make that joke of like, you know, they act like nobody's booking the matches before everything happens. Did no one book this before, like legit real stuff?
I feel like they gave the writers room the week off and they were like, Vince has it this week. And then Vince forgot that he had it this week because there were so many XFL announcements. And then he literally showed up in Gorilla at 4:45 and was like, okay, so who's here? And it was like, these people, like, get in the ring. Who's whoever's here and can be ready in the next 14 minutes, get in the ring.
Some of them were just there to hang out with their buds because they happen to be close to the same city.
Yeah, so they were like, just ran by for catering. Like, just came to eat.
I just came for the salmon.
It's just, it would be a blessing. It's like my great Aunt Ethel said when my grandfather was ill and we were all not okay with it. It would be a blessing. Like, at this point, put this man out of his misery. Great Aunt Ethel was right. It's a blessing. This man needs to go.
Just let him go do XFL.
Yeah, no,
just go do that.
No, just let him go.
It's going to get worse when XFL kicks in because he'll be trying
to micromanage both.
Half of his attention, but all of his control. Yeah.
And all of his fucking madness.
I try really hard. I know I've been preaching this lately, especially since I did the Christian Q&A of like the idea of like, let's pull back and look at the big picture.
Oh, you did a Q&A with Christian?
Oh, had I not mentioned?
Cool.
My friend, my
was
friend
he
Christian.
Nice? Did you like him? Did you get his number? Do you text?
Maybe.
Are you on first name basis?
I don't like to talk about it.
He would say that Christian is his best friend, but he doesn't know if Christian would say that he's his best friend.
That's really
it's
touchy.
It's my favorite joke to make, and I've got to stop it.
Sometimes at the completion of a story, you look at it and go, this is good. Other times... That doesn't mean that while you're in it, you should be made to suffer or feel confused.
Yeah.
And I think about like, all right, I watch a lot of shows. I watch a lot of movies. I've seen Endgame 6 times in the theater. That is not a joke.
Oh,
that
that's
is the
lot.
Truth.
Yeah, that's fair.
Are you okay?
I enjoy it very much.
Okay.
But I also feel like I'm sitting here going, well, do I hold that to a different standard than I hold a wrestling product I've been watching for for 35 years.
Yes, you do. And you know why?
Why?
Because they earned your trust. Because over a span of 22 movies or 21, 22 movies, they have earned the trust that even if something, even if you don't like something, you know, even if Doctor Strange wasn't for you, you knew it was paying off to something big. WWE has dropped the ball enough on stories where things just get hand waved away or, you know, suddenly, you know, whatever. They have dropped the ball enough that we don't have any trust in them. If they... NXT, they can do stuff, and I'm like, I don't get it, but I have enough faith that they're doing something I can't see, and this is building to something greater. Whereas with WWE, we just don't have that faith anymore.
That's true, but I also, if I go to see, first of all, Doctor Strange is for everybody, but when I went to see Doctor Strange...
Doctor Strange is for the children.
Doctor Strange is for the
like
children.
Much like Wu-Tang.
If I had gone to see like Guardians of the Galaxy and not enjoyed it, I wouldn't have gone, Kevin Feige is an idiot. Like, we were so invested in the creative and the on-camera and off-camera. We're so invested in it that it's hard to separate them. At the same time, through that lens, it's still, this sucks.
Unfortunately, because of the business I work in, there are plenty of people who are like, if something goes wrong, fuck Ryan
Johnson.
Yeah, fuck Ryan Johnson. Yeah. Fuck this dude.
Don't fuck Ryan Johnson. What a lovely chap.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's the greatest. And Last Jedi is great.
Yeah, Last Jedi is great. Suck my dick.
Thank you.
Rose is amazing.
We're all in the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, we're not. Okay.
Shut up, Julian.
Julian, get out of here.
Yeah, stay outside the booth, Julian.
Keep doing your push-ups.
I can cut everything out. That was easy.
But yeah, so it's, and maybe that's why I look at it, because I do so much industry stuff now. I wouldn't call myself an industry insider, because everyone who does it, I want to punch in the face. But I do enough industry stuff now that, like, I do see that people, there is a backlash against certain creators. But again, it's a matter of, like, trust. But they're no longer on board for the other Star Wars stuff, because it's like, well, after Solo, like... And so that is what it is. People do lose faith in movies.
And it's storytelling. We all work in storytelling one way or another. So we are invested in storytelling. I am a storyteller. That's my job, is to tell stories. Mm-hmm. My favorite part of wrestling is storytelling. Like, I love the athleticism of the wrestling. I do. But my favorite thing, and the thing that keeps me coming back and has kept me engaged for decades now, is the storytelling element of it. And I am just watching it disintegrate in front of my eyes, and Hal's always right, and I always try and remind myself of that when I freak out about a story that I hate. I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the long game is.
Yes.
I don't know where this is going. I need to just be along for the ride. And I know this from books that I'm like, you know, like, what happens at the beginning of a book isn't what happens at the end of a book. I you have to stay involved in it, and it's closest to a soap opera. Like, it's an existing, living story. It's not a story that starts and ends with one. It's not a film. It's not going to have a finite ending. This is a living, breathing, organic story. But what has been happening now over such a long time, when you look back, but what's happening now at such an accelerated rate, is the storytelling has just fallen apart. And that's what scares me about what's happening in it right now. Because like you say, I feel like everyone's got part of it where it's like, I have lost faith and they've lost my trust. And I can't see them treating people well. And I see people who I don't think should be given opportunities being given opportunities. Mm-hmm. It's very hard right now.
And I think that's why so many people are so psyched about, like, New Japan doing so much stuff and AEW. Even if you... Because there are plenty of people who are like, I just don't have time to invest in a whole other company and all of their mythology and learning their 10 years of backstory. I think that's another reason why AEW is kind of appealing, because people are like, oh, I can jump on from the beginning. But also, even if you have no plans on checking those two things out, competition for the WWE is where they shine. And part of the reason why they've been languishing is because there hasn't been anything that's felt like it's really real competition. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that any of these one companies by themselves is, like, huge, because obviously, like, WWE is massive. But when you put all of these companies together who are now all getting streaming deals or TV deals or putting their stuff up on Twitch or whatever, that has such an ability to take away a good chunk of the audience.
Because there's always room for more. That's the other thing is... When you watch a Marvel movie, you don't stop watching any other movies. If anything, it makes you watch more movies.
Yes.
You love movies. And when I love wrestling and wrestling's great, I watch more wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't just, like, you know what? I'm only going to watch WWE because I love it so much. It makes me go, like, oh, you know what? Like, that was such a great episode of NXT. Like, oh, I'm going to put on NXT UK because NXT was so great this week. Or like, oh, that was so great. Do you know what? I should check in with, oh, Kushida was great. I should check in on New Japan. Let's see what was happening on New Japan. When I love something, I want more of it.
Yes.
And it shines the whole thing. Everyone gets the shine from something doing well. What they're doing right now is what they've never done, which is crumbling under pressure instead of excelling in it. And I don't know where this goes.
Yeah. It's a labor to watch right now.
But, you know, wild card, you guys. Three guys, three, four guys, some people, no women. I don't know. What the fuck?
Do you think that this is just him being like, what sounds like gambling? They got double or nothing? I got a wild card.
Yeah, I look forward to the fucking gin rummy pay-per-view that will be coming up.
Exactly.
Like, coming this August.
Spades.
Yeah. Cricket Snap. Wireless presents Pass Line. WWE Pass Line.
I think it brings back backgammon.
Brings back balls on fire. I think it's time for balls of fire.
WWE, sir, your action's not welcome here anymore. You've been counting cards. Brought to you by Sprint. We're still a company. Surprised?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, what do you think about all this? It's the internet. You have opinions. You're a wrestling fan. You also have opinions.
You sound so tired.
You're going to say it. Listen, I've went through very intense therapy last night, and I'm definitely, I've been like, then I woke up early this morning, and I watched the episode of this season of Queer Eye with the single dad.
Oh, you mad fool.
And I cried through that whole thing.
You absolute fool. I've been drinking tiki drinks for 48 hours. I'm probably still drunk, so like, I'm here for you guys.
I'm just
who
currently
needs what?
Going through my life with tears at the bottom of my eyelids. Constantly.
So you've watched Endgame 6 times and then you watch some Queer Eye?
Then
Because you're like, Endgame, you know what? I feel like some more feelings.
Endgame 6 times, therapy, Queer
and
Eye.
And then some Queer Eye.
Facebook.com/groups/tightsfights and @tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. When we come back, more news from the week in wrestling. Yep, that's right. There's more.
And there are puppies in the office. Like, how are you coping?
Also, therapy is great. Everyone should get it.
Yes, get some therapy, for goodness sakes. Tights and Fights. We'll be right back.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my favor.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my friend's favor.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my favor.
I'm Judge John Hodgman. You're hearing the voices of real litigants, real people who have submitted disputes to my internet court at the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I hear their cases, I ask them questions, they're good ones, and then I tell them who's right and who's wrong.
Thanks to Judge John Hodgman's ruling, my dad has been forced to retire one of the worst dad jokes of all time.
Instead of cutting his own hair with a Flowbee, my husband has his hair cut professionally.
I have to join a community theater group.
And my wife has stopped bringing home wild animals.
It's the Judge John Hodgman podcast. Find it every Wednesday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
Thanks, Judge John Hodgman.
Tights and Fights podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelt.
Let's start this segment on a positive note. Daniel Bryan is back and healthy after a month on the shelf.
Yay!
And while it was a rematch, he had an outstanding WWE title match against Kofi Kingston on Raw. And then Kofi had another title match on SmackDown against Sami Zayn from Raw and AJ Styles from Raw.
Oh, but Sami got out that trash can.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he got out that trash can.
Like maybe when they tipped it into the dumpster, he leapt out and we didn't see it and then he ran away.
I wish that Raw had
like
ended
a pussycat?
With I wish that Raw had ended with the guys finding him. What movie is it where he winds up in the trash can that somebody threw away a perfectly good white boy? I think it's from is it One Crazy Summer?
I don't remember, but that's a great line.
Yeah. Like
I'm just
technically doesn't count for Sami Zayn, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm stuck on him being a dumpster baby. Like he's just a dumpster baby.
Dumpster baby Sami Zayn back and in action But good to see Daniel Bryan back.
Yes.
Great promos, as always.
I love when his neck isn't broken. It's my favorite.
Yeah. It is my favorite thing in the whole
and
world.
I was so worried because I did see him on the Bella's Instagrams last week walking around Disneyland. And I'm like, why are you in Disneyland? Why aren't you doing physio? I don't like this. And it's like, no, they're just having a day off. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's Yay. Allowed. They had a lovely time by all accounts. Nikki had many outfit changes. And I'm like, you must have gone on zero rides, madam.
She brings a giant rolling suitcase into Disneyland with her.
Oh, just a breeze inside it.
So they were out here. They were at Disneyland world.
Yeah.
Oh, I wondered if they... Well, they couldn't have gone.
Well, because I think Nikki lives in LA now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's building a house. I also saw this on Instagram. I spend a lot of time on the Bella's Instagram, you guys.
It's good.
She's
one of my friends is a TV reporter and he covers Dancing with the Stars. That's part of his beat. Mm-hmm. So he is, and he loved her. He got to know her really well and he really loved her. But now he is fully obsessed with the her and Autumn storyline / genuine relationship. So he and I have gone pretty fucking deep on this. I spent a lot of time on their Instagram.
Do we like Autumn?
He really, well, there's stories we won't talk about here, but he likes him well enough. But, you know,
he's a dude.
He's a dude. And it's like, yes, it's definitely a genuine relationship. They're absolutely in love, and I'm so pleased. That's
Great.
How I feel about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, back to Daniel Bryan. He and Eric Rowan, or sorry, Rowan. He has no name.
Yeah, just Rowan.
He recycled his first name.
My agent's name's Rowan, so it's really funny. She's a tiny lady.
So Mr. Bean is also a Rowan.
Yeah, he's a Rowan.
Rowans are usually so small, but this one's big.
I wish he would change his name to Rowan and then act like Mr. Bean. Make a lot of really wild facial... expressions.
Let's get him a mini.
By the way, I have to ask this question as as a Brit. Are you more, if you have to choose Rowan Atkinson?
I'm Blackadder.
Exactly.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, there's no part of me that approves of
Mr.
Bean.
It's the best thing he's done.
Because I grew up as Blackadder and Mr. Bean offends the fabric of my being.
Because he's so much smarter than that. Although that's brilliant physical comedy, great clowning. I don't mean to, I'm not trying to disparage Mr. Bean, but Blackadder is
I saw Mr.
Amazing.
Bean first, and of course it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
This is it.
No,
I grew
it was
up
the dumbest
Blackadder.
Thing I've ever seen. And then I saw Blackadder, and I was like, how is that the same?
Oh, I love it.
Comedy's Rowan,
so
anyway.
So great. So they're the smack team.
Smack team down.
Smack team down the champions.
Smack down team wild card champions.
I'm not at empty, but I'm like a.
I was so confused
sliver of a
when
tank
I because I didn't see SmackDown live. I caught up this morning on like the clips, and I was reading the live updates of it, and I read it as Roman instead of Rowan, and I was like Daniel Bryan and Roman, and I'd also forgotten that Daniel Bryan wasn't champion anymore, so I was like he has two belts. What? It was so confusing to me, but and also then they were like, oh, we're just giving them the belts. They're just having the belts,
right?
And then they didn't just give them the belt.
Yeah,
and then Lindsay was so confused. She'd been drinking and she was tired.
But after they beat the Usos, we got this.
Which was a good match.
Yeah, good match. Good match, good team to beat from Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the promo they cut.
You know, they talk about a women's evolution, about women main eventing WrestleMania.
They do.
Do you know who's never talked about main eventing WrestleMania? It's the tag team division. And do you know why? Because for years, they've been led by jokers like the New Day, like the Usos, like Heavy Machinery. And they go out there
heavy machinery.
Do Thanksgiving turkey fights.
It's been led
and they'll
by
do
heavy
Halloween contests. And speaking of which, you know what?
No, he's thinking
there's
of the women
gonna be
again.
A tag
thinking of the
women. Team evolution. And this isn't going to be one dictated to us by the McMahons. No, this is going to be self-led, a self-led tag team evolution because Kofi Kingston, The New Day, they never aspired to that. We are going to main event WrestleMania as tag team champions, and we are going to aspire higher. And nobody is going to stop the Planet's tag team.
I fucking hate every word he just said. It is an amazing heel promo. Yes. It made me like, there are three times in that where I was like, fuck you, Daniel Bryan.
And I'm like, did he just shit on women and black people all at the same time? And it's like, yeah, he did. Yeah.
And this is one of those examples where it's like, I trust Bryan.
Yeah, I trust him.
I trust him. Mm-hmm. So when he says things like that, and I like a bunch of times, I'm like, fuck you. Oh no, fuck you. I'm like,
but also, like, let's give him a little hug afterwards for doing so well.
It's like, and I know it hurt.
Because I know he's not a misogynistic racist. This is the difference between someone playing a character really well.
Yeah.
And being Lars Sullivan.
And being Lars Sullivan.
And having to look in mirrors and take showers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these, oh, God, not led by the McMahons, but self-led. Oh, you know, I feel like that's one of those ones where, like, he did it so good, but he went back and just took one of those sad Lifetime showers afterwards.
Yeah, he's...
Like, just to scrub.
He's George Michael in Arrested Development, like, he's dropping his school bag as he walks through the door.
Yes. He's like, ugh.
I just need a minute, you guys.
Just full-on Silkwood shower. Yeah. Just, like, scrub it off me.
Just crying in the shower.
Off. Yeah.
Tobias in the shower. It's all Arrested Development. He
it's
was everyone.
Yeah.
He was everyone.
That's it. Speaking of tag teams, though...
Must we?
How does everybody like Kairi Sane and Asuka as a tag team?
Cool.
Obviously a great tag team.
Yes.
How do you feel about Paige as their mouthpiece?
I think it's perfect. If it keeps them on TV, man, that's all I care about.
I've seen a lot of people speaking out against it, but I don't think it hurts them, and I don't think it's... I'm a white woman, so I don't really have this platform. But for me, from a woman perspective, not as a woman of color, but I don't have a problem with it from a woman's perspective. I think she elevates them in that sense.
Yeah, and I think it's a larger problem of the idea that, like, the people in charge think that they need a white lady to
come
and do
this. Yes,
there's
a white savior layer to this.
Yeah, and that's a huge, huge fucking bummer. But Paige is really good at what she does.
Yeah.
They are really good at what they do. And I just want them on my TVs. And hopefully they'll get to a point where having her will work enough that eventually she can do, you know, like Chris Evans did to Regina King at the Oscars, and just let them go about their way
because
they don't need her anymore.
I want this to elevate both of them. I want this to be Paige's beginning of her road to becoming the female Paul Heyman, which is what I want for Paige, because
I
think she
Paige.
Has it in her, and I think she would be exceptional. And I want this to be their ability to just go off and fucking kill that division, because they have more than enough ability to do so.
I'd like to see Paige become the female Bobby Heenan, where she has an entire stable of women that she manages.
I'm fine with it. I am a Paige woman.
Yes.
And give her male wrestlers. Like, just give her a stable of wrestlers who do not have a good mouthpiece. I mean, Bobby Lashley needs help now that Leo Rush is not going to be on television anytime soon.
I have thoughts about that.
I missed this. Yeah.
So he's got backstage heat.
Again.
Have you heard this new one?
No.
So the new one.
I was on holiday and I didn't look at the internet. It was magical.
Good for you.
That sounds great.
I know.
That's a real vacation.
Oh, that sounds dope. He kind of fought back against the rumors of, like, having the backstage heat or whatever. And he was essentially like, look, it's not as bad as people are making it sound. There's one dude that's doing a lot of the leaking. But then he had a really good point where he was like, I know that there's a thing about having younger wrestlers carry people's bags and carry their water and all of that stuff. But I look at it as I am a young black man and there are young black men watching me go into the arena. And what does it look like for me to be carrying bags for other people?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I know that that's part of the business, but, like, I get that.
Yeah.
Now, ring crew, helping put stuff together and take stuff down and all that stuff, no question.
Yeah.
No question. Everyone needs, like, that is a young young boy's job. Like, that is your thing.
You're a young boy. That's what a young boy is.
That is your
job. That's why in New Japan, they just have young boys.
Young boys.
But we don't have young boys in WWE. We have an archaic, fucked up class system based on seniority that's established between themselves.
I gotta say, I see his point when it comes to carrying other folks' bags.
Yeah.
Like, you're a bag boy.
It means different things to different people, and it's all well and good
things.
To say, but this is how it's always been done. It's like, but
not a lot of things.
We're not doing things the way things have always been done for reasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. That's pretty rough.
So that is one of those ones where I'm like, is it that he's really, really got an ego and he's really, really got an attitude problem? Or is it that the people who are used to bullying people below because they got bullied, is it a frat mentality of, well, you're not rushing the way that I had to rush.
Yeah.
You're not pledging the way that I had to pledge. You didn't have to drink toilet water or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you fuck you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. And it's like, well, you also, you know, I don't know. It's
rough.
Sucks that,
it's really rough.
Yeah, it sucks that you came up in a time where there weren't options and other places you could go, and so you just had to carry people's bags and let them do all these terrible pranks on you and let them treat you like shit until you took enough shit, and then you got to be seen as a person, I guess, with autonomy.
No.
But people have other options now, and you can't take the fact that you had to be dehumanized out on someone else. And again, like I said, ring crew, all that other stuff, like, yes, you got to learn that stuff. Like, that stuff is important, and you shouldn't
it's
feel like you're above that.
It's like when they made Finn go to NXT and spend 6 weeks doing roles. You know? It's like, yeah, you did cool, do that.
That stuff, yes.
Definitely make them go into, it's like, I don't care if you're a champion or whatever, you're going to fucking go in that development center and do roles for 6 weeks. Fine. You're going to put the ring together for 6 weeks, but don't dehumanize people, and don't dehumanize people who have an entire fucking legacy of being dehumanized. Like,
sometimes they just, as we've discussed, not good at the optics, or just don't care.
No. But anyway, I'm a Paige gal. Like, let's get that t-shirt.
Before we take a break, let's just get through one more bad thing. Let's talk about the Usos revival feud.
I don't
that went
to.
Full Revenge of the Nerds.
I don't want to.
No, I want to.
Go ahead. There it is.
It's these motherfucking dudes were about to leave.
Yeah.
They were told better things were going to happen for them, and they signed a 5-year contract, and they have to scoot their butts like a dog with worms around the ring. What the fuck? And y'all are pissed that Sasha Banks doesn't want to fucking come back? What are we talking about here? And the Usos, it sucks for them too, because they're genuinely funny dudes. They're funny on the mic. They're funny, like, they're funny in promos. They have good physical comedy. Like, I'm watching that whole thing and I'm like, oh, if this was a better bit, like the part where they pop their heads out from the back, the timing on that and the way they do it is really funny. The way that, like, they present the Uso hot or whatever.
Usi hot
is really funny because, like, they're doing really fun things with their bodies. And it's like, they're actually really talented at doing comedy, and you give them this. The revival, you conned them into signing a 5-year fucking contract, and the first thing you do is drag their dick across the mat. What
you know
are we doing?
Because their boss is a bully with a juvenile sense of humor. That's why. I just couldn't believe it. I will say, fucking props the Revival for going for it.
Yeah,
they
sold
committed
it.
To that like mothers, and you know that was not easy for them, because having met them, I wouldn't say they were men that were blessed with aggressive senses of humor. They are like very earnest and like very committed and passionate about what they do. I only met them one time, but they didn't come across as like full of lols. They came across as, we fucking love what we do, we want to talk about the thing that we do, and we want to tell you how passionate we are and how much we love it. And it's like, oh, and then it's, you signed a deal and they made you scoot like a dog and pull your pants out your butt.
And it does definitely, I'm sorry, it feels, that feels so petty.
Yeah.
That feels,
it feels like Vince. It feels like Vince being a petty bitch.
Like, oh, you got all of this. People were so excited. Well, let's see you go to AEW now that I've made you, you know, fucking rub your butt on the fucking tarmac and
yeah. It was do the painful full Macaulay for me Culkin to watch. And, it was painful for me to watch. I'm like, oh, people I respect being... It was Natty.
Stay away,
it was,
Sasha.
It was Natty's fart gimmick all over again, and it made me very upset.
Yeah. No, this is literally like, as soon as I saw this, I was like, run, Sasha. Run, Sasha. And unfortunately, here's one of those things. Even if someone, the writers, just genuinely thought it was funny and didn't, again, think about the optics of what it looks like when people were holding out and then you had them sign this thing and then this is the first thing you have them do. How does this look for everyone else who's thinking of leaving?
Yeah.
And who is like, oh, but the last time that you gave someone this contract and enticed them to stay and told them that they would be made more important, the first thing you did was make them do taint jokes.
I'm laughing because it's a funny word, but it was not a funny situation. It's not a funny situation. It's awful. It's awful. And you know, just one of the writers, Vince came in. I was like, I want them to be punished. And one of the writers was like, Vince loves butt and dick jokes. He loves poop jokes. What can we do?
I don't think somebody else came up with it. I think that is all
I feel,
Vince's
I don't know.
Idea.
I feel like it was fully his idea. I feel like
something he would
I don't think
do,
he's
so.
Smart enough to write the icy hot version of it. No. I think he told someone to do something shitty to them, and someone was like, oh, he loves stuff
I
like this.
I think he overheard someone say Usi hot. Like, as a joke.
Yeah.
Like, maybe.
I
like,
love it.
Like, oh, hey, pass me the Usi hot or something like that, because they got icy hot from one of the Usis. Yeah. And he was like, Usi hot. Usi hot. And then
It's just, it feels so complex for him, whereas he's more like just make them shit themselves or something. Yeah. Like, well, it just felt a little convoluted for Vince, who has the juvenile sense of humor, as we all know from that fabulous Twitter
That's
feature.
What I'm going to put over.
Which I assumed you were. You're not going to bring it up. But it's like, we know this about him. We know this. That's why it just stank of Vince. But it stank of Vince, and it had been through the writer's room for a week. And I just think, good for them for fucking doing it, but fuck that bit. Fuck it.
I'm already...
Well, look, Paul Gallows and Anderson, they're like, can we fucking fight, please? Can we wrestle,
their
please?
Their contract, they're not leaving. They're leaving after the contract is up in September.
Yeah. Good. They fucking should.
If you have any itching, burning thoughts about everything we've talked about, let us know. Facebook.com/groups/tightsfights. And please do consult a doctor. You can reach them on Twitter at tightsfights. Also on Instagram, same place. Weird how many members of the medical community run our social media. When we come back, it is time to share some of the things from wrestling that we enjoy. That's coming up on Tights and Fights.
Disclaimer, nobody who runs our social media team is actually a doctor.
Hi, it's me, Paula Poundstone.
And it's me, Adam Felber.
We have a podcast called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. It's a comedy podcast where we bring on experts to teach us stuff we need to know.
And by the way, the guy who came to tell us what to do when you encounter a bear never showed up.
Anyway, it's fun. You are guaranteed laughs in every episode.
You can't really guarantee laughs. What if somebody doesn't laugh? We'll get sued.
Join us for our next episode where we have an expert in consumer law explain to us how to defend ourselves against one humorless, litigious shut-in with enough time on their hands to sue us over our unfulfilled claim of guaranteed laughs in every episode here at MaximumFun.org.
The Cat of the Week is Mabel from Green Bank, West Virginia.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by...
Danielle Radford.
And...
Lindsay Kell.
We're closing the show out today with some of the things from wrestling that you should know about. This is the three count. Danielle, you're up first.
Okay, Okay, so the first thing I'm going to put over, it's a little convoluted, so stick with me. So there is a Twitter account called Inspector Pikachu, and this Twitter account put up a thing saying, you know how sometimes you'll be talking about something? I'll get there. you know how sometimes you'll be talking about or you'll be tweeting about like a movie or something, and all of a sudden like this Russian bot comes in and is like, I have whole movie. If you want whole movie, go here.
Surrender passport here.
And so someone made those where they were like, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, full picture, Ryan Reynolds, comments on it and then retweets it and is like, yo, Warner Brothers, it leaked. What's going on? If you click it, and I'm sorry, I have to ruin this, unfortunately, for this to work. If you click it, it shows like maybe 2 minutes of the what is clearly part of the opening, probably not the full opening, but 2 minutes of like what is the opening of the movie. And then it becomes Pikachu doing the dance from those Crystal Light dancers. And it is the best thing in the world. So here's what becomes about wrestling. A Twitter user called Achingly Chic took and also, by the way, they have they loop Pikachu doing that dance for like an hour and a half. It's amazing. Took the first loop, so like the first however many seconds it is, like 30 seconds, and looped it to Sami Zayn's theme.
Yes.
So here are two happy things. I managed to sneak in two things.
You really did.
But joy. So 40 seconds of Pikachu doing the Crystal Light dance to Sami Zayn's theme. And if that doesn't make you
I'm
smile
watch
this morning.
That. For the rest of today.
I'm very interested.
No, it's literally.
I pulled up the tweet and I pulled someone retweeted Inspector Pikachu, brackets 1997, directed by Ryan Reynolds, production assistant Jeremy. So that's also made me really happy.
Yeah, isn't
like
that great?
Everything about this being wrong on the internet is fantastic.
It's so good.
Also, I'm very excited about the movie.
Lindsay.
I don't even feel like I have anything I want to be happy about, but I am going to put over Kushida's debut match on NXT against Cassius Ohno. last week. We'll be talking about NXT next week, so like go watch it because I love him. Go Google any of his matches you can watch on YouTube, any of his New Japan. He's great. Let's hope he's not going to fuck him up. So go watch him while he's still good. And also, I'd like to thank my good friend. I don't know if I mentioned my good friend, Big E Lanson, who yesterday on Twitter told me that I was a nice person, which is not true. But he doesn't know. That's just me putting myself over. I'm pretending I'm putting Big E over, but I'm really putting myself
over. You're baby-facing yourself.
Yeah, you did.
I went into business for myself.
Good for you.
Thanks.
I am not in a place where I can experience a lot of joy right now, so...
Because we've seen Endgame 6 times.
Well,
six times.
It's a lot. It's been an avalanche. A friend of mine, my friend Johnny, the same person who gave us that fake report, sent in that fake report to Meltzer all those years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, the Big Show retired 3 times at a house show and then got put in the Hall of Fame. Very, very funny. He shared a string of tweets... A thread by an account called Alan Cheapshot, A-L-L-A-N underscore Cheapshot, which is crazy Vince McMahon stories. I just want to share a couple of these
with you. Joyous. It's utterly joyous. Here's
one. Vince hates sneezing. When someone sneezes, he yells at them and tells them to control themselves. On the rare occasion Vince sneezes, he angrily mutters to himself and loses focus for a few minutes. That is as per Paul Heyman.
My favorite was all the ones where he shots.
Like, yeah, all a lot of that.
God, there's so many.
Former 90210 writer Larry Mullen joined Stephanie's creative team. They were in a meeting with Vince. Vince was talking. Larry was nodding. Stephanie pulled Larry out of the room. She told him, "You need to stop nodding. Vince hates nodding." She explained that if there's one thing Vince hates, it's yes men. This is extra hilarious because everyone always says that Vince is surrounded by yes men. Poor Larry lasted just a couple of weeks. A lot of great stories like that, including a story from the flight from hell.
I went through so many feelings because I was laughing. And then when I saw how long it was, I was just getting angry because I'm like, I give this man money all the time and my attention and power over me. Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And then by the end of it, I'd gone all the way back through to like absurdity.
Yeah.
That it was just like it went on so long that it just ended up being absurd and hilarious again by the end.
It's quite a journey.
It really is.
It's hilarious.
Tells you everything you ever really need to know about what's wrong with this company.
Yeah. Find it. Check it out. Highly recommend it. That does it for Tights and Fights.
I thought you were going to cry. I really thought you were just going to start crying.
I'm all right. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, your hosts are Danielle Radford and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Lublin. Anyone got anything to put out for listeners? I do.
Mine is easy. I've been working and helping on the Honest Trailers. Go check those out.
Yay!
I put out a couple of articles on Fandom about Endgame. Yay! They're full of spoilers. But go check those out. They'll be the ones with my name on them. I'm putting out another video for Fandom coming out soon, so check that. Oh, I think we're past the spoiler embargo, right? So I can just say
things. Yes, it was Monday, right?
Yeah, Monday
so we're
was.
Way past it.
I love that we just let the Russos tell us when the spoiler embargo.
I think they got the respect for having a spoiler embargo.
Or for at least
that's
telling
why
people
acknowledged it. Yeah.
I think so. I think it was because they literally said, "Look, this is the cutoff," but they had to because of the Far From Home trailer.
Yeah.
I put out one article that was about how Iron Man wasn't really supposed to work, but how it became like the progenitor of this universe. I put out one about why they made Captain America work for jaded audiences, because like really a dude named Captain America wearing the flag is cornball as fuck. At best, jingoistic and creepy at worst. And then I am working on a video called The Evolution of Captain America, which shows him starting through the movies, and it mostly touches on kind of what was going on in society during the time affected what happened in the books and affected what happened in the movies. You know, just me analyzing shit like I do.
I love when you do that.
Beautiful.
I do the thing. Yay.
Lindsay?
I have some books coming out. Please buy them. I Heart Hawaii and Cinders and Sparks, which is my first children's book, are both out on May 30th, which is so soon now. It's like so soon now.
I'm so excited.
It's so soon. Yes. The day before that comes out, which is May 29th here in Los Angeles, I have a Work Juice improv show at Dynasty Typewriter. That is at 8 p.m. You can find at my Twitter, at Hal Lublin. I'll be tweeting about it a bunch, but you can get tickets at the door, but please get them online. They are cheaper that way, and you will be guaranteed a seat.
Woo!
Because who knows? That thing could sell out. We never know. We never know who's going to show up.
Always buy things pre-sale if you can.
Yeah.
Plus, it also, like, if you like the performers and you buy things pre-sale, it just helps people stress out less about tickets and stuff. Because a lot of times people will be like, oh, it's okay. Like, I know that I'm going, but I'll just buy tickets there and I don't care how much more expensive it is. But, like, it really does make us feel less stressed out if you buy tickets ahead of time. We can breathe a little bit and just focus on the performance.
That's right. Also, the day after Cinders and Sparks comes out, May 31st, I will be at PodX in Nashville, Tennessee. I'll be there through June 2nd to perform. I'm going to be doing some improv for y'all. I'm going to be doing some stuff with Voyage to the Stars people and hosting a live episode of Good Morning Night Vale.
Woo!
So come, awesome. Come there where podcasters connect and meet. And it's going to be a real, real good time.
Yay.
Excited about that. I also want to give a shout out to my friend Busy, whose show is out there and available for someone to pick up, who can pull their head out of their fucking ass, and also her monologue to open last night's show.
Oh my god,
was incredible! She's a powerhouse human being who has a huge platform and uses it brilliantly.
Yeah, she talked about what was going on in Georgia with the abortion ban.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty dope.
Okay, we'll be retweeting that immediately.
Find that, watch her show, enjoy the work of supremely talented people who are kind and are putting something out in the world.
Shout out to Jenny Yang,
one of the writers. Yeah, there should be a lot more of that there isn't, and now there's going to be less of, which is maddening to me. I'm so fucking mad at E!, who has 900 Kardashian shows and yet can't take an enriching, inspiring piece of television and give it more time and support,
just
and
give it
let it keep going.
It's like that's
so
one of those things that drives me nuts, because Conan didn't work. It didn't work for like the first season. It didn't work, but it got renewed and it found its footing, and that's how it works.
Whatever.
Yeah,
add another hour to fucking SmackDown. Great. That's it. That's fine. That's what we need more of in this world. Anyway, our producer is the five-tool player, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind theme music. We're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. And if you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible and have a portion of their recurring monthly contribution. Keep the lights on for us. It is critical. It is important. Your support is needed in many, many, many ways. That is what keeps our show going. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Yay!
Yay!
And hopefully no fucking Uzi Hawk.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.